In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today on this 16th Sunday after Pentecost, we also honor the memory of the Holy Apostle and Evangelist John the Theologian, who's the writer of the Gospel of John and also of the Book of Revelation and the Epistles of John. And he was one of the sons of Zebedee. His mother's name was Salomea, and his mother was one of the daughters of St. Joseph the Betrothed. So in a sense, he's kinsman of Jesus, and technically stepbrother. A fisherman, he and his brother James were called by Christ to follow him, and they left their father in their nets and were numbered among his apostles. And at the time of Christ's crucifixion from the very cross, the Lord asked St. John to take care of his mother, the Most Holy Lady Theotokos. And following her repose, he then went off to Ephesus and other cities to preach. And when attempts by Rome to put him to death failed by God's providence, they tried to give him poison, and you know, he made the sign of the cross and nothing happened to him. And they tried to throw him in a deep fryer, you know, like a French fryer or something, and nothing happened. He came out completely unharmed. So they decided to just exile him instead. So they sent him off to the island of Patmos, where he proceeded to convert all of the people to the Christian faith on that island. And this is where he also wrote the Book of Revelation, or also known as the Apocalypse, revealing the tribulations of the church and the end of the world in the last days. And when it came time for the Apostle John to leave this earthly life, he made his disciples put him in the grave and bury him. And later, when other disciples wished to venerate his holy relics, they opened the grave once more, but they found it empty, much as in the case of the tomb of the Mother of God. When she died and the Apostle Thomas got there late, they rolled the stone back and there was no body in there because Christ had taken the Mother of God up to heaven with him. And so the Apostle John was especially known for his witness to the love of God and love of our neighbor. So Holy Apostle John, pray to God for us. Now in today's gospel, we heard about the parable of the talents, which we hear at least once or possibly twice a year. And just as the Apostle John was known as the Apostle of Love, since he constantly taught that without love, no one can really come near to God, so Archbishop Andrew Rymarenko makes a connection between last week's gospel about the two greatest commandments, love God and love our neighbor. And he said, this is what talent means. The talent is the strength given to us by Christ in his holy sacrament to fulfill the main commandment of God, which is love for God and for our neighbor. Now, St. Gregory the Great wrote that these talents can be seen not just in quantitative terms, but from rather a qualitative standpoint. He says that the five talents are an image of the five senses, and that the two talents represent the theory and the practice of our Christian faith, while the one talent represents the theory of our faith alone, the understanding of that. So there are those who use all of their senses to perceive higher truths. And, they say in the Orthodox Church, all the senses are engaged, all the five senses. We come in, we see the icons with our sight, and we hear the chanting and the prayers. We smell the fragrant incense with our sense of smell, and we make the sign of the cross with our hands and bow and so forth, and that's our sense of touch. And then we taste the holy body and blood of Christ that we partake of, and other blessed bread at the end of the liturgy and so forth. So all of our senses are intended to be engaged. So we walk into a church, it's we're not in Kansas anymore, like the Wizard of Oz line, that we know that this is a different kind of a place than just, the hardware store or something. So about the theory and the practice, so St. Gregory goes on to say that others are able to put the theory and practice to use in both understanding interior matters, in other words, spiritual things, but also people who are able to accomplish extraordinary things outwardly. So then they put those concepts and those principles into action. And we see that in many of the saints. St. John of Kronstadt, for example, created this. He saw that there was a need to help poor people, and so he formed this house of industry and set up a school and taught them job skills and did all kinds of things to help them. He goes on to say, St. Gregory does, that the servant who received the gift of the one talent of understanding hid his talent in the earth by being interested only in worldly and earthly things. And so then when the Lord comes to reckon with the servants, he rewards the first two who had used their talents wisely. However, with the unprofitable servant, the servant says to the Lord, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And when we consider this one basic talent to be an image of the Christian, the understanding of the Christian faith, the unprofitable servant then really has no excuse for not using what was given for the benefit of others and for his own soul. St. Nikolai Vlimirvich refers to this as a type of false self-justification, since the servant actually knew better but did not use the gift of God for his salvation. And St. Nikolai goes on to say, how clear and terrible this teaching is for those who have great wealth and do not give to the poor, or great wisdom and keep it locked within themselves as in the grave, or any other sort of goods and skills and show them to no one, or great power and do not protect the poor and miserable, or a great name or renown and will shed no ray of light on those in darkness. The best that could be said for them is that they are thieves, for they count God's gift as their own, taking what belongs to others and concealing what is given to them. So this is why the Lord then says to this unprofitable servant, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him who has 10 talents. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because, of course, now is the time that we can do good works. Now is the time that we can acquire the virtues in this life. And once we leave this life, then it'll be too late. We won't be able to freely do these good works as we can now. One of the ways that we show our love for God, of course, is by wanting to please God, and also by loving our brother. And as St. John said in his epistle, 1 John chapter 4, these are just a couple of quotes. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And there's many more instructions on this in those epistles. So in other words, if this unprofitable servant really had the love of God, then he would have wanted to do good. You know, he would have wanted to use those things which God gave him, and he would have wanted to please God, and then he wouldn't have been in the mess that he got himself into, where, you know, he loses even the talent that he was given. And so, brothers and sisters, let us also strive to love one another and use whatever gifts that God has given us to the benefit of Christ's church on earth, which he has given to help us achieve salvation in his heavenly kingdom. Glory be to our God.